These are the weekly Zoom security headlines. Well, there are a few that aren't about Zoom. From Daily Tech News Show for the week ending April 3rd, 2020, I'm Tom Merritt. Zoom updated its iOS app at the beginning of the week to stop sending device data to Facebook. According to a Zoom spokesperson, the company implemented a login with Facebook feature using the Facebook SDK, but that the SDK was also sending unnecessary information to Facebook, like your mobile OS version, device time zone, device model, and carrier. Zoom says it will eventually remove the SDK entirely and let users log in with Facebook through a browser. A user then filed a lawsuit against Zoom in San Jose, California federal court over its use of the Facebook API to share that data with Facebook without disclosing it to Zoom customers. Zoom also was caught claiming that its meetings that have no participants on the phone are secured with end-to-end encryption. The Intercept reported that Zoom uses what's known as transport encryption using TLS, which lets Zoom access unencrypted video and audio from meetings for ad targeting purposes. A Zoom spokesperson told The Intercept, "When we use the phrase end-to-end in our literature, it is in reference to the connection being encrypted from Zoom endpoint to Zoom endpoint." That is not a traditional definition of end-to-end encryption. A Zoom spokesperson also said currently it is not possible to enable E2E encryption. That's short for end-to-end encryption for Zoom video meetings. And a malware researcher found that Zoom uses pre-installation scripts to unpack the app and place it in the app's folder on macOS, and then was using a misleading prompt to gain root privileges. That is not malicious in itself, but it is a method used by malware. The next day, Bleeping Computer noted that security researcher @GodMode had discovered a method to expose Windows credentials in a Zoom call. Zoom makes URLs and network paths clickable in chat messages. An attacker could send a UNC path link, a network path, usually beginning with 2 backslashes, and when a Zoom user clicked on that path, Zoom was using the SMB file sharing protocol to open the link. By default, Windows sends the user's login name and password hash, which the attacker could then attempt to dehash. Security researcher Matthew Hickey verified the vulnerability and advised Zoom not to turn network paths into hyperlinks. To mitigate the vulnerability, users can set a group policy to prevent NTLM credentials from being sent to a remote server. So, on Thursday, Zoom CEO Eric Yuan announced the company is freezing feature updates for 90 days with all development focused on security and privacy issues, including a review of third-party integrations. He also committed to enhancing Zoom's bug bounty program, releasing a transparency report listing requests from law enforcement and governments for data, and will hold a weekly webinar to discuss privacy and security updates. In separate conversations, he indicated Zoom was considering open sourcing some of its code. The Verge reports that Zoom has removed the controversial pre-installation, which included that misleading prompt, so that all users must click through the installer and give explicit permission to install Zoom. And yet, the week wasn't over for Zoom. Trent Lowe and members of SECKC, a Kansas City-based security meetup group, made a program called ZWarDial that automatically guesses Zoom meeting IDs and gathers information like date and time, meeting organization, and meeting topic. ZWarDial avoids Zoom's attempts to block such searches by working through Tor. It cannot, however, find password-protected meetings, so if you want to mitigate that, password-protect your meetings. The Intercept notes that encryption keys from Zoom sometimes are issued by servers based in China, even if none of the participants are in China, even if all the participants are in the United States. And CitizenLab.ca explained that the encryption used by Zoom is a non-standard AES-128 key in ECB mode, which is not only non-standard, but more vulnerable to attack. That's it for Zoom. On to other things. The latest version of Apple's platform security document revealed that the 2020 iPad Pro includes a microphone hardware disconnect option, similar to the capability introduced in the 2018 MacBook models with the T2 security chip. When using an MFI-compliant case, closing the case will cause the microphone to disconnect, making audio data unavailable to any app. Cloudflare released its free DNS resolver 1.1.1.1 2 years ago and now released it for families, allowing households to use the DNS resolver to block malware and/or adult content in their router settings. Malware-only blocking uses the DNS 1.1.1.2, while malware and adult content sites use 1.1.1.3. In the coming months, Cloudflare says it will add additional configuration options like setting site whitelists and blacklists, setting times when site categories are blocked, and reports about internet usage. An attacker using login credentials of two employees to access customer information of more than 5.2 million Marriott hotel guests was discovered. Information included contact details, loyalty account info, partnerships, preferences, some demographic information. Marriott does not believe the attackers accessed passwords, payment information, or passport and ID numbers. Marriott learned of the breach at the end of February, believes it dated back to mid-January, and Marriott has launched a site where users can check if their account was accessed. Finally, the Wall Street Journal reports that, according to sources, the U.S. CDC, state and local governments have used anonymized location data from mobile ads to aid in pandemic response plans. Data is received through the COVID-19 Mobility Data Network, a project coordinated by Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Princeton, and other schools with the goal of creating a portal with information on up to 500 cities in the U.S. The data is being used to see where people are gathering, how well stay-at-home orders are honored, and the impact of pandemics on retail. One of the sources of the data is Facebook. For more discussion of the tech news of the day, subscribe to DailyTechNewsShow.com. You can find show notes and links to all our headlines there as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.